Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Bechukotai. This week, Rabbi Howard Marcos discusses Bechukotai. Rabbi Howard Marcos is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi Howard Marcos.
Thank you, Larry. The award-winning movie Kramer vs. Kramer has a scene with 8-year-old Billy, who is home with his recently separated father, Ted, played by Dustin Hoffman, eating dinner, a dinner which Billy claims he doesn't like. "What is this crap?" "It's Salisbury steak, and you love it," says his father. "It's yucky." "It's not yucky, Billy. Eat it." "Did you remember to bring chocolate chip ice cream home?" "Yes, I did remember to bring the chocolate chip ice cream home, and you are not going to have any of it until you eat all of your dinner." Billy promptly gets up from the table, goes to the freezer, and takes out the chocolate chip ice cream, ignoring his father's demands that he not do so. "I'm warning you," his father says. "You take one bite out of that, you are in big trouble." Billy puts the spoon in the ice cream. "Hey, don't you dare. Don't you dare do that. Do you hear me?" Billy continues his task, arranging the ice cream on the big spoon just right so that he can take a big bite. "You put that ice cream in your mouth and you are in very, very, very big trouble, Billy." Billy, staring intently at his father, puts the spoon closer and closer to his mouth, ignoring his father's litany. "I'm not going to say it again. I'm not going to say it again." Don't you think that the warning, "You are in very, very, very big trouble," should have been enough to keep Billy from crossing the line? Certainly Billy didn't think so. He went on to take the fateful bite of ice cream, prompting his father to grab him and forcefully take him to his room. In many contexts, escalating the threat of sanctions and ratcheting up the pressure with punitive threats in order to get the other party to back down from their defiance is the approach of choice by individuals, companies, or even countries. But it seems that unless the threat is perceived as credible, the defiant one will simply not listen. In Parshat Bechukotai, we hear the first two execrations, the tochechot, found in our Torah. The other one is found in the last chapters of the book of Devarim. God tells the children of Israel through Moshe that Im bechukotai teilechu, if you walk in my ways and follow my commandments, there will be reward. Verses 9 and 12 in chapter 26 of Vayikra bring God's promise to the people. Ufaniti alechem, vihifreti etchem, vihirbeti etchem, Vahakimoti et briti idchem, vehitalachti betochechem, vehayiti lachem leelohim, veatem tiyu li le'am. God says, "I will look with favor upon you, and make you fertile, and multiply you, and I will maintain my covenant with you. I will be ever present in your midst. I will be your God, and you shall be my people." Then, two short verses later, the people receive a contrasting warning. V'im lo tishmeu li, v'lo ta'asu et kol ha-mitzvot ha'ele. V'im lo tishmeu li, but if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, you are in big trouble. The Torah proceeds to delineate the kind of trouble that will befall the children of Israel in graphic detail, including military defeat, disease, natural disasters, and being destined to live on a land which will no longer be friendly to those who wish to cultivate it. Wild beasts will prey on the populace and ravage the livestock. These tragedies will be followed by invasion, famine, and pestilence. Towns and holy places will be made desolate. Human beings will eat the flesh of their children who died of hunger, and the nation will suffer a prolonged exile in foreign lands. Now, the nation did not hear these warnings of devastation and disaster all at once, though. For as we know, tafastem merubeh lo tafastem, too much information at once is very difficult to digest fully. God very much wanted the Israelites to heed his warnings and remain on the proper path. So his presentation of the Tochecha is laid out very deliberately with a series of introductions followed by promised chastisements of increasing severity. Moreover, if we look closely at the text, we can see that each introduction is different from the previous one. And I believe that this too was deliberate, beckoning the listener to ponder the message, not just of the threatened punishments, but also of the prelude to each warning. Today, let's look closely at the differences in the introductions and try to understand God's conditions for punishment addressed to the people of Israel trekking in the wilderness. In verses 14 and 15 of chapter 26 of Vayikra, God provides what seems to be ample warning. V'im lo tishme'uli, v'lo ta'asu et kol ha-mitzvot ha'ele, v'im b'chukotai tim'asu, v'im et mishpatai tig'al nafshechem, levilti asot et kol mitzvotai, lehafrechem et briti. If you do not obey me, and do not observe all these mitzvot, if you reject my laws and spurn my rules so that you do not observe all my commandments and you break my covenant, you will be in big trouble. V'hifkadati aleichem behala. I will cause misery to visit you. Then in verse 18, the warning becomes even more intense. V'im ad ele lo tishmi'uli, v'yasafti liyasra etchem sheva al chatotechem. And if for all that, that is, following the initial reprimand, which I chose to dole out to you as a result of your misbehavior, you still do not obey me, I will proceed to the next level of chastisement as I cause you to suffer. The punishment moves from misery to a loss of power and strength, such that the people's farming prowess will be no more. Liyasra etchem, yisurim, disciplinary torment might be tougher to handle than behala, misery, as one is a state of mind and the other is actual physical suffering, which can also affect one's mental condition, creating a twofold punishment. Verse 21 increases the intensity of the warning yet again. V'im telchu imi keri, v'lo tovu lishmo ali, v'yasafti aleichem maka sheva kechatochtechem, v'yishlachti vachem et chayat hasadeh, v'shikla etchem, v'hichrita et behemtechem, v'himita etchem, v'nashamu darchechem. And if you are openly hostile toward me and refuse to obey me, it will get worse for you, your family, and your livestock. The phrase found in this part of the warning, telchu imi keri, is unique to the Tanakh. It is found nowhere else in the entire Bible, so we can only guess as to its meaning. Some commentators wish to understand keri as having been derived from the root kuf resh resh, to be cold. If you give me the cold shoulder, that is, if you are aloof and respond with disdain to the attempt to put you on a proper path, v'yasafti aleichem makah, I will resort to smiting you. Makah in the Torah implies death, in this case at the hands of wild beasts, which was not a part of the previous warning. We are now at a stage in which there are objective consequences for behaviors displayed or by action not taken by the people. In the next warning, encompassing verses 23 to 25, we read, V'im be'ele lo tivasru li, v'halachtem imi keri, v'lahalachti af ani imachem bekeri, v'hiketi etchem gam ani sheva al chatotechem, v'heveti aleichem cherev nokemet nekam berit, v'ne'esavtem el areichem, v'shilachti dever betochechem, v'nitatem b'yad oyev. And if these things fail to discipline you for me, and you remain hostile and cold to me, God says, I will become hostile and cold to you, and bring sword and pestilence to your community, and you will be delivered into the hands of the enemy, causing you even greater misfortune. God promises that he will smite the Israelites, a warning similar to the previous one. But this time, it will be personal. If you show me coldness and disdain, God says, V'halachti imachem keri, I will show you the same coldness that you have shown me. Finally, the last words of warning found in verse 27 find the people being warned one more time. V'im bezot lo tishmeu li, v'halachtem imik bekeri, v'halachti imachem bachamat keri, v'yisarti etchem af ani sheva al chatotechem. And if, despite all of this, you disobey me and remain hostile to me, I will act against you in wrathful hostility. Wrathful hostility. I, for my part, will discipline you, making the punishments even worse for the people than before. God says, I won't kill you anymore, but I will be angrily hostile toward you, and I will discipline you in the worst way. Bachamat keri, translated by JPS, as wrathful hostility, serves as the final warning to the people. It isn't the punishments alone that serve to intensify the message over the course of the Tochecha. It's also how God comes to feel, as it were, when he is forced to dole out more punishment than he would like, as it were. First, it's a simple stimulus response. Your rejection of the mitzvot will result in a reflex punishment. You will suffer behala, sudden misery, just thinking about what might be in store for you. Sometimes there is no greater fear than fear itself. But then, v'yasafti liyasra etchem. A great explanation for this phrase is that liyasra is from the same root as musar, ethics. You should follow the laws because they are laws. And if you refuse, then perhaps it's because I haven't sufficiently explained the moral reasoning behind the importance of observing these mitzvot. I will add an ethical angle to my teaching, God says, while I bring punishment upon you. Perhaps this combination will turn you around as a nation, and you will start to obey me. Then, if that doesn't work, and the response is one of active disdain, lalechet keri, God promises to keep his proverbial cool and respond without emotion. I will add to the punishment the element of death to the perpetrators, even though it will remain a staid and unemotional consequence to the actions of the people. You are hostile, but I am not, says the Lord. God will be forced to bring a more severe punishment to the people as a result of their ever-deteriorating attitude, which he is determined not to allow to get out of hand. If you are still unable to get it into your head that I want you to change your ways, God says, and you remain hostile in your behavior to me, only now will I return the anger and hostility in kind. Now I am really mad, is what God is finally forced to say, as he promises to inflict the people with makot, increased physical chastisement. God says he is mad, but that anger has no bearing on the unemotional manner in which the punishment is meted out. Maimonides, in his Shmona Prakim, his introduction to his commentary on the Tractate of Avot, Ethics of Our Fathers, talks about how sometimes, in order to stimulate a person to act more properly, one has to feign anger in order to bring about constructive change in that other person. In the same vein, at this point in the execration process, God is saying that he is mad, if for no other reason than to frighten the people into submission, getting them somehow to obey his laws and commandments. This extreme response is in hopes of bringing about a reaction from the wayward people who need to return to the proper ways of behavior. And finally, the last straw is when the people refuse to obey, even though they might understand the logic and morality behind the importance of observing the mitzvot, and continue to act in a hostile manner. Then, and only then, God will be hostile in return and angrily discipline the people, bachamat keri. It is at this point in which God is telling the people that they are in very, very, very big trouble. And indeed, humankind in general and the children of Israel in specific have suffered through the generation, throughout the generations, and our tradition teaches us that in large part it is because we have turned our backs from the ways of Torah and have refused to follow the commandments and have done so with an attitude, willfully and full of hostility and disdain. We have been given ample warning, and whether we believe that the hostility and murder and corruption and hatred in this world is a man-made phenomenon, whereby we came to it without any divine intervention, or that the sorry state of this world is a punishment from God following ample warning and admonition, there has indeed been a great deal of needless death and destruction in our world throughout the centuries as a result of both so-called natural disasters and those that are considered man-made. Should we be paying attention differently to the inordinate number of natural catastrophes? Earthquakes in Ecuador, volcanoes in Iceland, tornadoes and flooding in Mississippi and Arkansas, floods in Texas, Haiti, and the Dominican Republic? Are these catastrophes a warning to the human race that should be noted and responded to? I don't know the answer, but it certainly is worth pondering as we revisit the Tochecha found in Parshat Bechukotai. But I dare not end this discussion on such a negative note. What is unique about Judaism is that we so often manage to find the positive even in the face of intense negative. At the end of this horrific chapter 26 of Vayikra, of Leviticus, there comes a verse that tells us, Ve'af gamzot, biyotam be'eretz oyvehem, lo me'astim ve'lo ge'altim l'chalotam, Lahafer briti itam, ki ani Adonai Eloheihem. Yet even then, when the Jewish people are in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them or spurn them so as to destroy them, annulling my covenant with them, for I, the Lord, am their God. We are promised continued existence by God, even when our situation might look bleak. So the question is, if we know that God will always be there for us because it says so in the Torah, then we don't have to worry about being punished for taking that ice cream, right? We can still reject the mitzvot and have contempt for our God and his mitzvot, and we are still promised a future, right? Wrong. A mere 68 years ago, Israel became a state, bringing fulfillment to a dream that was at least 2,000 years old. Once that happened, did the Israeli population say, individually or collectively, our prayers have been answered and our work is done here? On the contrary, it is very deep in the Jewish and, by extension, the Israeli psyche to work on improving our situation, no matter what it is. We have courts that work towards making sure that justice is not only served, but also seen to be moral and just. We have a government that, regardless of how you view the current coalition that's in power, is still committed to maintaining a democracy in this country. We have a people who overachieve, and we have people who also are base criminals. We have everything that any 21st century country might consider standard and worth striving for. In addition, however, we have the Torah, which through the divine messages that are contained therein, teaches us that we may not be complacent in our beliefs or in our behavior. Our vigilance will bring reward, and our negligence will bring behala, misery. We have the responsibility to do what it takes to make Israel great in any and all ways. This parasha's message is that while society may not be perfect, and the tragedies of the world are certainly real and often depressing, all is not lost, not by any means. We still have a chance to make our world better, one person at a time and one act at a time. As the prophet Jeremiah declares, quoted in the Haftarah chanted on the Shabbat of Parshat Bechukotai, Baruch hagever asher yivtach ba'adonai, v'haya Adonai mivtacho. Blessed is the person who, in spite of the rough world around her, still keeps God in mind, and with that belief is strengthened to act to make it better, now and forever.
Thank you, Rabbi Marcos. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.